Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Tuesday Bible Study. Hallelujah. We are so excited about what God is going to show us today in His Word. Hallelujah. We welcome you on behalf of our co-founder, Archbishop UW Smith. We thank God for just being here in the sanctuary, and thanks to God for those of you who are online. Thank you for tuning in. Hallelujah. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Amen. We pray that God would tell you something today that's going to put your life into another dimension in Him. Amen. Because He wants us to grow day by day. Hallelujah. God is good, and He is awesome in all His ways. And we bless you. We magnify His name. We glorify Him because truly He is good. He is faithful, and we love Him. Hallelujah. And so we're going to open up with a word of prayer from Pastor Ann, and then we're going to get, amen, maybe a little song, and then we're going to get into this word and see what thus said the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Jehovah Jireh.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We come to you right now, Lord God. Thank you for this day, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Another opportunity to come, Lord God, and to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, workmen that need not be ashamed, but able to write and divide the word of truth.
Hallelujah.
God, we thank you that we trust you,
Lord,
with all
thank
of our
Lord.
Hearts.
Thank you, Lord.
Not to our own understanding. In all of our ways, we acknowledge you, and we know that you will direct our pathway. So, God, we thank you, Lord God, as we come today and hear the word and study the word, Lord God, let your word be written upon the table of our hearts, Lord God, that we might not sin against you, God. So, Father, I thank you that you give us clarity, oh, God, concerning the word. I thank you, Lord God, that the word will bring about change.
Yes.
God, I thank you for it, Lord God, that you continue to bless our leaders.
Yes,
Lord God, you will continue to bless the light of the world, Lord,
yes, Lord God,
that you will continue to bless us as we go forward in you, God.
Yes,
and we
Lord.
Thank you, Lord, and we declare everyone that comes into these doors and those that are online today, Lord, we praying, Lord God, right now for your anointing to touch them in every area, any area that they need to be touched. And, God, we give you glory for it, and we believe that you have already done it, oh, God, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
Praise.
Hallelujah.
I'd like to take a little time out to thank God for the many blessings He's given me. When I look back over my life and I see where He brought me from, I can truly say that I've been blessed. Let me tell you, woke up this morning, got out of my bed. I looked around, here's what I said. Thank you, Lord, for the blood you shed. You put a roof up over my head. Thank you, Lord, for another day. All these blessings you sent my way. You see, I could have been dead in some lonesome grave, but you told, oh, death, you told it to get back and behave.
I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I can count on God, He won't let me down. He always do just what He said. Pain and suffering, He brought me through. On wide open
my legs and I can walk. I got the tongue, y'all, and I can talk. Even the air that I receive. I got my lungs and I can breathe.
When I look around, I can see all the blessings He's given to me. Bless my family and they do.
Thank you, Lord, for another blessing. Another day God has shared us. Amen, amen. I'm telling you, life is so, so precious. Amen. We had practice on last Tuesday night with my basketball team, not knowing that one of my players would be dead on Thursday, 16 years old, in a car crash that happened in McDonough. I was one of my best players that had so much potential, but God. And you've been praying for his family, and they're doing pretty good under the circumstance. And they're really positive, amen. So I thank God for Light of the World intercession that they've been praying, amen. And the parents say prayer is working. Keep praying for them. So I thank God for and the other players. I have to allow God to help me console them, amen, as we're dealing with this situation even now. But I thank God for life, and it is precious. I mean, you don't know the last time you're going to talk to somebody. I think we said this last week because my sister-in-law called me, called us on the weekend, and by Tuesday she was gone. And so we never know where death is. But one good thing about it, if you're ready, hallelujah, death has no victory over you if you've been born again. Hallelujah, to be absent from the body, just be present with the Lord. So we don't lose no matter what happens. What happened, we win every time. Amen? So today we are again in Romans, the 5th, hallelujah, and we're dealing with Paul just trying to get us all to realize that it's not about tradition or religion. It's about a relationship. And he began to tell us how that we became righteous just because of what Jesus did, not because of what Abraham, Moses, or nobody else did, or mom or daddy, not cousin or uncle. But what Jesus did on the cross made us righteous back again. So he reconciled us back to God and put us in right standing so we have access to God, that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. And we thank God today that now he's telling them about that how Adam brought death to the human race and Jesus Christ brought life to us. The only thing is that we talked about last week is that death was put on all men, but life is a choice. You got to choose life. He even told the children of Israel back in the Old Testament, I bring before you life and death. He gives them the answer, said, choose life. I mean, we have a God who would give you the answer to your question. Good God Almighty. With the answer, gives you the answer. And you know, I was doing some studying. We as Christians, we have an open book test. We have an open book test because we got something we can refer to. It even got glossy. The card will tell you where to go, right? And some of us, we still fail. Open book test. Because the problem is, even though the book is open, you got to know where the stuff is. You got to know where to find it, right? And so we see where Adam brought sin, but Jesus Christ brought life. And so he began to tell them about the contrast between the first Adam, and which is typically called the second Adam, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, so before we get into, I think we're at 17. We didn't do any last week, so. Okay, let's read 16, 17, and 18. Elder Lewis. Elder, not Lewis.
David. Romans 16. And not as if was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. Free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more that which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness to reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. By one man's disobedience, which was an offense to God, death reigned. But Jesus came along, and by one man's obedience, the gift of life was given, which is really saying that the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross is what made the difference.
Mm-hmm.
It was already planned that way. Adam was the instrument that was used to infuse or bring sin into the world. God knew that was going to happen for the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ was the propitiation for it, the instrument by which God was going to use, and He had to use blood to wash, to make the deal with Satan, Lucifer, mm-hmm. Beelzebub, whatever name you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
That was the instrument or the money of whatever to trade, because really Satan wasn't expecting the blood.
Mm-hmm.
So God gave his best in order to buy us back from Satan. Because when Adam did this, then it all the power that God had given him shifted over to Satan and Lucifer, whatever. And he then thought he had God in the stranglehold.
Mm-hmm.
But God said, okay, I'll send my best. And the Bible says in Isaiah, that they looked out among men to fill the hedge or the breach, but they couldn't find one. So they were, we couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But then Jesus said, prepare me a body.
Mm-hmm.
So he got in that body, came down here on earth, and took care of what Satan had, took back what Satan had taken. And when Satan took what he took, he thought, hey, it's forever. Nothing can take this away. Until Jesus died, went to hell, defeated death and all that stuff, and took the keys to hell. And when he left, he got to the door and took the keys and said, see,
mm-hmm.
I got the keys
mm-hmm.
to hell and death and all this. And I thought you knew all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And that's when the war started. That's mm-hmm. when Satan started his attack to try to get man back, because God has defeated him once in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And now he wants to. And by the blood of Jesus is what gave us the victory then and now and forever.
All right.
But that was God's plan to begin with. That was
mm-hmm.
his plan.
Oh, yeah.
Satan did.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get the memo. That was his plan, and his plan is for man to not just have power, but have authority.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way Satan can get anything from us is if we give him
mm-hmm.
authority.
That's right.
So we have to know that we have authority. And no matter what he says, we can just go back to God's word
mm-hmm.
and let Satan know
mm-hmm.
that he has no
mm-hmm.
authority over you, be it drugs,
mm-hmm.
be it alcohol,
mm-hmm.
be it fornication,
mm-hmm.
whatever the case may be. He has no authority
mm-hmm.
over you. Then, now, and forever.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah, that's it.
In 18, I picked up, I think what I was getting from verse 18 is about the gift that was given, and it was talking about that, what's that? No, 16, verse 16, from a man who sinned. So even if we give our best gift to someone that we can give, no matter how much it costs, so, you know, I know some rich people and wealthy in this, sons and daughters get married, and they give them a whole home, estate, and property, and all that as a wedding gift. But even that best gift, because it's coming through sinful man. I'm not saying all rich people are sinners, but I was just saying here that it's saying it's not like those gifts given by man or come through men. This gift, no matter what you did or how much you try to give, it just you can't compare it. You can't compete with God's gift.
Amen. Amen. And so what were we saying? Oh, go ahead.
If you look at the gift that God gave, all of those who accepted him, he gave us all the same gift.
Yeah.
He did not show no type of favoritism or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
He gave us all the same. It's for us to accept the gift. If we don't accept it, then hey, if I give you something, you said, I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that's on you, that's your loss.
Mm-hmm.
But see, he gave us free will.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to make us do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he still let us know, hey, I still love you,
mm-hmm.
whether you receive it or not. But
mm-hmm.
I prefer if
mm-hmm.
you receive it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I like to see the analogy. I like to think of the gift with this analogy. Your bestest friend, relative, or whatever, go and shop for you. Wrap it up with a nice bow on it and give you a gift, be it for your birthday, holiday, or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
Gives you a gift. They love you, you love them. They give you a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And you sit the gift on the counter day after day, week after week, month after month, and never unwrap it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What good is that gift? The key is unwrapping the gift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God has given you this gift. Unwrap it.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to know you. He wants to have a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
Unwrap
mm-hmm.
the
yeah.
gift, will you?
Yeah, yeah. Good job. Mm-hmm.
kind of inserted into this gift thing because I just thought it was important. I know we got to all the rest of the verses, but I think something that Sister Ali, you know, was saying about the no partiality in the giving of the gift, that gift went to everyone equally who was willing to unwrap it. But this is a personal thing, and usually I keep every gift that someone to me, no matter how small or whatever, I'm just appreciative to get it. I get it. And I, you know, try to say, even if I don't right away, I look at it, I admire it, I thank you. At one of these days, you know, everybody don't use every gift right away that comes to them.
So, but I was just wondering if anybody ever received a gift that really they couldn't use and you appreciate the gift. I very seldom have gone back to a store. I never have gone back after holiday and get somebody's receipt and do that. But I have received something from people and maybe in the household that it was more for them to use. I'm just, then it was for me. I don't know if anyone said it was something. Oh, yeah. I thought you could use this, but it's something I never, you know, use. If they know you and know how you are, and it's just like a gift that if my sister gave me one, the girl loves shoes. She's a shoe person. And now she know my foot size and my stature. So if she fuck girls, all these things, I know they was you, they on sale. And it's a, you know, a size 7. And but, you know, I'm like, oh, that's stuck. I don't wear that. I'm about a couple, 2 or 3 more sizes up. She wears that. But she bought me these gifts. I couldn't leave it in the store. It was so great. I know you would love them. But I can't use that. She say the wrong size, and it's not my strappy sandal stiletto type thing. And I was like, okay, nice gift, but I can't use this.
But isn't it so simple that God knows everything about us?
Mm-hmm.
That he knows gift for us. And sometimes it may not be a gift we want,
mm-hmm.
but it's a gift we need.
Yeah.
And he supplies our
every need.
So when we got to realize that God that we serve gave us the gift of Jesus Christ that mankind really didn't want, because we enjoy sin and enjoy.
Yeah.
Tell the truth about
the
pleasures of sin. And so God gave right before you, we got to realize the love of God.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That what he did was when he gave us his son, he didn't give it to pay Satan.
That's right.
He didn't pay Satan back.
No.
But because his law that God and sin can't mix, and if sin is committed, a retribution has to be made. A redemption has to be made. Some blood got to be shed for remission of that sin.
Yes.
And so there was nobody else to God Almighty to do it. He had to do it for himself. So then he had to take of himself, his only begotten, and make the presentation to himself to redeem us back to himself. Hey, oh, my God. Do we really get what he did? I mean, the sense of the love that he did, that he, before we even sinned, before we existed, he knew we needed a lamb that was slain. And so he went ahead and slayed the lamb before the foundation of the world. Oh, my God. So when sin came, provision is already there. That's the magnitude of the love of God, that he couldn't find nobody to redeem man. And so it wasn't about him paying Satan back for what Satan had stolen. No. What he did was he offered himself to redeem man for his justification, because that's his law. He don't go against his law. That's why he don't come in the earth and do stuff like he wants to. He allow us to do it, because he is a beyond law for spirit to operate like that.
Yeah.
Right? And so I just to think about the magnitude of his love, that he did it all for himself, by himself, with him.
Yeah. Good thing.
I mean, everything he did to redeem us, he paid the debt to do it.
Mm.
But it was unto himself.
We all here believe. And when we go out in our communities, we try to share the gift with others. Everybody not going to be here. And that's okay. Maybe it's not, we're not the right person. Maybe it's not the right time. Maybe it's not the right situation. So we should not take it personal. We should just plant a seed and move on. Keep it moving. And because we all are disciples. And that is our function, to share the gift. Everybody not going to open it.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the wrong size for some people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what made me think of it when you said the wrong size. In their mind, it's the wrong size. It's the right size. But in their mind, it's too big.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
All you do is plant the seed.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe there'll be somebody else. Or you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
And then in time, and you know, God is so good. we don't have to play.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to do him. He do good by himself.
Mm-hmm.
He don't need me. So when he's ready for somebody to get the revelation, it will happen.
Mm-hmm.
You may be just invite someone to church. Come and have lunch with me. And they come here, and the Holy Spirit will drive them to the altar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not you. Get you. Get us. Get me. Father, I pray. Get me out the way.
Mm-hmm.
You do your will in me, that thy will be done,
mm-hmm.
not my will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I was thinking about when you all were talking? Now, Satan thought that he had the human race. The Lord had to show him, I got this. I got this. And you know, that's what was playing in my head. You think that you got it? You think that you have destroyed them? No, let me show you, Satan. I got this.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Because, you know, growing up, it used to be sounding like Satan is on one side and God is on the other side. And then, Satan people and God people, right? But Satan is getting the same punishment the sinners get. It ain't like he go over them. he just swaying them to do wrong. He ain't no better. He's not going to be excused from the hellfire that everybody else going to be excused from. But growing up, it seemed like in my head that it seemed like this, you know, Satan was on one side and he got his people, and then God on this side, he got his people. No. God is going to punish every sin no matter what. And Satan is going to be punished. You know? So sometimes people thinking that okay, we're going with the devil. And somebody talking about, we're gonna be with the devil. We're gonna have a party all the time, because that's what he said the devil do, right? But there ain't gonna be no party, baby. You gonna be a barbecue, and you gonna be the meat that would never be consumed, always burning. But you don't know how long forever is. Forever is a long time. You burn forever. But people got this thing in their head, no, we're going to be partying. Well, yeah. You're going to be you're going to be partying.
To happen in summer of who really is. And that's why the Bible says he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. And that pastor said, when you see how he really looks, you can say, this little person, I've written him to bow me like this. I cannot believe it. I allow him to put me through all of this. And I said, yeah, you got a point. Because we got to remember, he's too blessed. So why are we letting him control us?
But the reason why he controls us is not because of him.
Satan don't have no power. He said it earlier. We give them the power, but it's because of what's in us. You cannot ever be tempted by something that's not in you. If you never dealt with lust, a naked person could come in your presence and won't bother you because you never dealt with that. But if you've dealt with that before, you got to watch yourself, right? And so it's the same thing if it's not in you. So it ain't about the power Satan got no more. He had the keys of death and hell. That's all he had. But he had power to tell you to do nothing. What we do is, and the same thing that Adam and Eve did was the lust of the eye. That was what was in them. They were serious about it. And what they did was they took on the knowledge that they needed. And with that knowledge now, they can do it. Without the knowledge, they can do it. If you don't have evil in you, you can't do it. But once you get in you,
lust of the eye,
pride of life, lust of the flesh. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So those things were put. And so when we look at Adam, like we said before, we can't be fussing at Adam. Why you did that? You called all those things. You got Adam as an example, and you still fought. You got all the Bible as an example on what not to do, and you still do it. How you gonna blame Adam? Right? So because now we got a way out.
Yes.
Jesus came and said, "Listen, okay, Adam messed up, but guess what? Got this good deal right here. Live forever, no matter what. But you're gonna live forever with me in peace." Where the lion going to lay down with the lamb. Every day going to be stunning. Howdy, howdy, they say, and never goodbye. All these things I'm going to promise to you. And so no matter what we're dealing with, we realize what the gift that God has given for us and the life that Jesus gave up for us. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's it.
No bills. You don't have to worry about no health. You don't have to worry about no relationship. You have heaven right here on earth. And then eternal life after you leave this place.
Mm-hmm. Man, what do you think about the time span of life? In time, listen to me, because life is forever because God breathed life into us, and God cannot die. So we are forever because we have the breath of God in us. Our spirit got to live forever. But the time zone, time period that we exist on earth is so all compared to eternity. I mean, even our lifespan comparing with how they live even in the Bible. We might think that they're 150. They did what? 900? That's a big difference. That's a big difference. But that even can't compare because God, when he punished Adam, he said, the day you sin, you shall surely die. And 1,000 years is like one day inside of God. And so no man has ever lived 1,000 years. Because the day you sin, you will surely die. Jesus can drop the mic. It's over. Right? And so we got to understand the gift that Jesus came to give us, that we don't have to be concerned about stuff. And our challenge is, as we go through the Word, to learn how to live this life, how to operate with the stuff that our flesh is trying to tell us. Because Paul says, there's another stuff going on in this body. That I'm good, because when I'm in church and the Spirit is on me, I'm real good. But, oh, there's another member knocking on me. Hey, you can do this, man. You can do that. Trying to tell me. So I got a battle. He said, but who can save me from this body? Only Jesus.
So, I think, paraphrase the conversation, it's like, the thing that the world to, that school, that education gives you, the world to deal with the world. I said, but God has tools as well,
mm-hmm.
for your spirit,
mm-hmm.
the spiritual tools. Tools that he gives you is how to use the world too with wisdom. So the Bible, that book we call the Bible, is our spiritual tool. It gives us the wisdom on how to manage the world. And that is what, in turn, gives us peace, where we can see all things are acceptable, but not necessarily useful. That's scripture. In other words, you can speed on down this highway
155.
But is that useful? You can go down to the liquor store and do this and this and this, but is that useful? And scripture, if you don't know that scripture, then you don't know how to manage what the world has made available to you. See, God has made, he's made the trees and the water. Even too much water is not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing that's available that you can just overindulge
mm-hmm.
yourself with it. So you have to have your spiritual wisdom to prove that the Bible has made available to you
mm-hmm.
in order to have a joyful,
mm-hmm.
peaceful,
mm-hmm.
joy-filled, peace-filled life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Amen.
Amen. So let's go 19 and 20. Elohim.
Okay, and I have the New American Standard reading. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. The law came in so that the transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Through 20. Okay. So abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In essence, we've been saying that we've already done 19 about the disobedience, and then the one, of course, being Jesus Christ that brought obedience through his obedience unto death on the cross. That's how grace would come in abound all the more. And it was saying in 20, more or less, that the law here, of course, was not given that we should increase sin, heaven forbid, no. But the law was put there to show us how much we sin. And without that standard or some rule, we would never know how much we were flying off the chart. God placed the law there. So now that you see how much that you are missing the mark of righteousness, then God, you know, sent his son that you don't have to, sin doesn't, you know, reign over you or reign or cause you to die, or that's what sin, that's the ultimate goal, is for you to die in unrighteousness. And so sin reigns just to cause death, eternal death in you. But grace reigns through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Awesome. Nobody? No.
The law, like Elohim was saying, the law just let us know. Because of the numbers of law, let you know how much you sin. Okay. And the Pharisees thought they were real cute, and they went and added some more laws that they couldn't keep themselves. Just added and added and added, and they couldn't keep the ones that they had. And but what the law is, it showed us how much sin we had, but it could not do anything about the sin we did.
Mm-hmm.
So when Jesus came, he brought us something that assists us in not going into sin. David says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you." So if you don't have the word in you, you're going to sin. And not only did the word being in you, but the Holy Ghost has to lead and guide you in that word, because a lot of times we get confused in the word. And so the Holy Ghost got to regulate our mind and interpretate what the word is really saying to you. Because there's so many people confused about the word. They can quote it. I mean, they can be Elder Davis. They know more scripture than Elder Davis. They can, but they don't know how to live it. And so when you're talking about the schooling is one thing where you can know how to book now. I had a guy when I was in college in Florida. This dude was acing everything in class in accounting, right? He got a job, and it's supposed to start the job on Monday. Saturday and Sunday, he's calling me, trying to find out how to reconcile a bank reconciliation. Now that's 101 in accounting.
Yeah.
But how to actually do it in the real thing, has no clue. But he's acing, I mean, in the theory, acing it all. But here this man,
practical use.
And so we have the assistance of the Holy Ghost to walk, oh my God, to walk us through stuff. Sometimes the devil will try to confuse us that this is the way you should go. But the Holy Ghost, put that turn on and say, no, don't go that way. And so we really don't know how blessed we are. But God has given us all the equipment, everything we need that we can please him. He's not trying for us to fail anything, but he's given us all the equipment, everything we need,
and how to use it.
That's what I'm saying.
Not just the tools, but how to appropriately apply the tools he's given.
Rightly divine.
Rightly divine. Mm-hmm. And the one thing about sin, just because we say don't mean that we might not.
Oh, no.
let's get that straight. But being believers, if we do that, we will get condemnation on life.
Conviction.
That's not what conviction. That's what I mean. Conviction. I kind of mean conviction. Unlike people in the world, they were like, "Well, what? Did something wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? Why are you tripping? What's going on?" We will be convicted by the Holy Spirit and repent and make a change. You know, so that's the difference. So if we see a brother or sister it's gonna be all right.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let that go like that.
If you're strong, and that's the Bible say, let the strong bear the firm in the
mm-hmm.
If you see a brother starting to fall, mm-hmm. go get him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if God show you my fault, it ain't for you to go tell him come to too.
Yeah, exactly.
What the use of God telling you something about me, and you go on to everybody but me.
Exactly.
And I'm the one who needs the help.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know? Brother David.
And James says, be not hearers of the word only, but doers of the word.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start doing the word, that's mm-hmm. when that word implanted
mm-hmm.
in you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And like I always say, a good example was our grandparents and all of them that lived, worked on the farms and even put back to slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them couldn't read. They couldn't write. Some of them had third grade education. My mm-hmm. wife was always talking about her daddy went to school one day
mm-hmm.
and quit, didn't able to go back.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a master prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not an easy task, you know. But you couldn't fool them. They knew their word.
Right.
They would tell you you're a good boy, you got a good heart,
right.
and
mm-hmm.
I love you.
Right.
But you need Jesus. You need to get
mm-hmm.
saved.
Mm-hmm.
And you start talking scripture to them, they could tell you what they were talking about. They probably couldn't do quote,
mm-hmm.
you know, but they knew what it said because they what they did, they took one scripture at a time,
mm-hmm.
they put it in the heart. And the Bible says when you have need of it, the Holy Spirit will bring it back to your remembrance. And that's what got them through
yes.
that period.
Yep.
Now we are in another period of dispensation.
Yes.
And the Bible says each generation will get wiser but weaker. A lot of our kids now, they can't count one plus one and get two.
Mm-hmm.
But they can get on a computer and shut down Bank of America.
Mm-hmm.
They get wiser, but they get weaker, and they mm-hmm. fall in for everything. They
mm-hmm.
fall in every trap of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying everybody, but a lot of them don't enjoy going to church anymore. They party all Saturday night, and they get on the TV on church,
mm-hmm.
they scream, and that's their church.
Mm-hmm.
But they are missing that Bible scripture that says, not the simmering together of yourself. That scripture really means that she has something for me, and I have something for her, and I have something for her, and she has something for him, because the Holy Spirit is in between, and he knows all things. But here's the key. He said he will be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path.
Mm-hmm.
He won't let you trip and fall off the mm-hmm. if you let him.
Mm-hmm.
You're leading your guys.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't want to be a leading guy, he's not going. And all he's going to tell you about is the will of the Father. He's not going to say anything about himself. He's just going to be there for you, and he'll lead you, and your guide you, your teacher, and all this kind of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a
Reggie, I really missed coming to church, and the Holy Spirit convicted me that, hey, you can go to Walmart or wherever, you can be in church. That's why I came, you know, that's why I made my family. I mean, you know, he convicted me and said, hey, look, go wherever you want, come on back to church. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And during that whole time, I think a lot of folks would use the pandemic as an excuse.
Oh,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And you are blessed.
Oh, yeah.
They're not them.
Oh, yeah.
Who was it convicted? The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit and my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Holy Spirit, absolutely.
And once you start laying out in church, you'll get used to it. You don't want to go where you
need
to be music while you can't go. Well, I'm going to go when I think it up. That's nothing but the Spirit that helps
you. Right.
Make you oversleep. I was on positive two last night. I was going to do this. And that's a spirit of slumber. Just different spirits. That he will put on you that you can't, that you don't want to get out of.
Absolutely.
I can't wait to come to church.
I'm going back to something that Pastor Butterfield said about 7-8 minutes ago about Holy Spirit, and when we were talking about the law, and then you were speaking about people that know Scripture or Satan, the devil can wrote the word. We know Satan knows Scripture. He was quoting it to Jesus, you know. And so, but what you said was that the Holy Ghost rules and regulates the word that is in you. So somebody else could have that word and they could be a scripturian and quote back and forth and never do. But Elder David says that the word says don't be just hearers, but doers. But you can't do and will not do if the Holy Spirit unctioning or regulating you to do. And this thought came to my mind. I wrote it down. I said, oh, Satan, the devil knows the word of God, but he can never let the word of God rule and regulate him because he will never receive the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it's true. Even when he uses the scripture,
he don't have the Holy Spirit. It's twisted. Yeah.
He uses it for his own benefit. He try to manipulate. He used the scripture, but he used it to his own advantage. And so a lot of people do that. they would use the scripture to back up anything. It's amazing that people can find scriptures for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've been looking for a scripture to help build you up, but people can find scripture to be satisfied the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why would you take the word to be satisfied for where you are? Wouldn't you want to get better? Wouldn't you want to get closer to God?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what the scripture is for, to get us closer to God. Anything we deal with in this life is only to get us closer. It ain't the big. God ain't trying to let you backslide,
no.
Or go back or be tempted and committed sin. No, he wants you. He wants to prove to Satan that you're going to love him no matter what.
Right.
He said, have you considered my servant Luther David? An upright man who's going to sift you back and forth. He's going to stand no matter what happens. That's what God wants to do. You want to be able to say, this man here going to stand. This woman here going to stand no matter what.
John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way. That means I'm the way you should go. I am the truth.
Mm-hmm.
My word is the truth.
That's right.
Not your neighbor, your brother, your uncle. I am.
Mm-hmm.
You're not speaking my truth. I am the truth. And if you want a great life, I am the life.
Mm-hmm.
So that you may have
life
and peace
mm-hmm.
in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Right. John 14 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Jesus says in John 10:10, you don't have to wait till you die
mm-hmm.
and go to heaven.
Experience.
There's some heaven and some hell right here in this world.
Yeah. Say that again. Some heaven and what?
Heaven and hell right here in this world. That's why he said the thief comes for what? But steal,
yes,
kill, and destroy. But, see, with God, there's always a but. But I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Mm-hmm.
See, there are a lot of people who don't go to church except for weddings, funerals,
mm-hmm.
baby christenings, and most of them going in to get the free food.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But while they're there, you know, we as believers, we as people who have gone through similar stuff that they're going through, we have to show them that I saw Stephen Butterfield. You know what he was doing? Man, he was teaching us. I'm about to tell you to get drunk together. Oh, man. But when they see you, the Bible said they were, you have a countenance on you that you can't explain. You can't, but when they see it, they'll say, wow, he really is changed. Wow, he really is not. He come have a drink with me, Luke. It's my birthday. No, celebrate with me. No. Oh, you think you're too good? No, there's nothing to do with it. Come on, go to church with me. Come on, go to Bible study with me. Nah, bro, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when trouble
mm-hmm.
comes again, they will start thinking about it.
They don't know.
That's
mm-hmm.
your witness.
Mm-hmm.
That's your witness.
That's right. That's your witness right there.
Mm-hmm. After our last confess to Sister Ann.
He made that confession.
Yeah, he ain't confessed yet. Confess he won to another.
That's what the Bible says.
Oh,
okay.
We do not deposit the word within our spirit. I like to look at the Holy Spirit in this form like this. If I drive up at the bank and tell them I need $100 out, and I know I don't have $100 in there, they can tell me, I'm sorry, we can't give you the $100.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when the Holy Spirit goes within me to try to bring back something that's going to encourage me, the Holy Ghost cannot do that because I haven't deposited, because I haven't been in the Word, and I haven't been in prayer before God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people quote scripture and try to tell me where they came from, I said, that's good if you know that, but are you living that? Do you have a relationship with the Lord? Oh, so I think I can do this. I said, Satan can quote scripture, but he don't know how to walk it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Had a song that not what you say that others speak, but I declare everything. So let the Lord be seen in you. It ain't what you say. People watch what you do more than what you say. 'Cause Because we got a friend in the Bahamas, talk his teeth, money buying. So you can do all that talking all you want. Put it out. I'm gonna clap your hands with you. We finished the fifth chapter of Romans. Hallelujah. We celebrate because we don't read the scripture. We study. We stay as long as we have to because we want to get an understanding of what God's word is talking about. We ain't trying to read the thing, go home and read the Bible. We want to study it. We want to hear everybody's opinion because you can't know everything. But everybody has something that can, like Elder David was saying, we feed on each other. We can grow by, we can get good understanding on things. And that's what it's all about. Understand the word of God. The more you understand it, the more you love it. The more you love it, the more you want to tell somebody about it. Tell somebody about it. They might hear, because faith comes by what? During the word of God. If you don't tell it, they'll never hear it. Amen? So next week, we'll start on Romans, the sixth chapter. Hallelujah. Amen. So at this time, we're going to have Pastor Andrew do the offering, and then we'll be dismissed. So this one, it was 102.
For the word, we thank God for the word and Pastor Butler and Ozzie who has taught this Bible study. Everybody be teaching, so we just give God glory for that. And we want to ask that you would give your tithes and your offerings during this time. We will credit it toward Noonday Bible study. If you're online, if you are giving through the app, I want you to send the amount of money that you have given to my cell phone at 770-906-0607. That's 770-906-0607. Just text me the amount of money that you've given, and then I will credit it to you towards Noonday Bible study. Those of you that is in-house, I have Umalo. Just let me know. Anyone need an envelope? You want to do it on your app, and I also have a square up here. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we bless you and honor you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for this time, Lord God, of giving, Lord. And we are praying right now, Lord God, that as we give, you'll give it back to us, pressed down, shaking together, and running over, shall be in. Give us to our bosom. We thank you, Lord God, that our hearts are pure, our hearts are right, and we are giving at Noonday Bible study. So, God, we give you glory for it, and we give you praise, and we give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want y'all to know that Pastor Butterfield will be teaching Bible study tonight. So we are asking you to come back out for Noonday for 7 p.m. Bible study. We are doing purpose-driven life. And I think his topic tonight is
Seeing life. God's view.
Seeing life from God's view.
He did four.
He's doing five. Hey, Mia. Come on, everybody. Give me OSHA, Kim Bro, a hand clap for coming to Noonday Bible
study. Welcome to Noonday Bible study.
Here we go. Which one is from off? Is it the big one?
It's two. Yeah, one.
I want the amount. So I can put down. They'll be wondering, okay, where is this coming from? Whatever. You want to credit it towards me if I said it. And I would do that so that the finance people will, I'll put it on the roster. And it would be saying that it is credited to a Noonday Bible study. It could be your tithes or whatever. Steal your tithes. Just gave it at Noonday. All the same, but it's just Noonday.
Okay.
And you did send it to me?
Yes.
to maintain with the amount. Okay, great.
Okay.
Presence in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say, amen, amen.